Those listeners who know Radio Norfolk well will probably remember Wally Webb. This month, David Clayton met up with Wally Webb to find out what stories the radio star is sharing in his biography. Here is David to tell us more.
Having just picked up a copy of Wally Webb's new biography, how on earth did he remember 40-plus years of his life in radio? "I wished I'd kept a diary," he tells me. "We spent 2 months trawling through newspapers in the library to check programme listings." The "we" is his wife, Sherry, who has authored the book, and whilst he knew all the programmes he'd presented on BBC Radio Norfolk, the dates around when he moved from one show to another were a bit vague until they researched it. If you were an early riser, you can't have missed Wally on your radio. He was, for much of his career, the first thing you heard here in East Anglia. It necessitated setting his alarm for 2:30 a.m. to start on air by 4 a.m. To say he built up a large, loyal following would be an understatement. The internet then added a multitude of foreign listeners to Wally's unique brand of eclectic radio. He's a Manchester lad, but found his way to our part of the world courtesy of enlisting in the RAF. "I'd had all sorts of jobs until then, including being a forklift truck driver and an apprentice ladies' hairdresser." It was while in the RAF he spotted an opportunity to install some disco equipment in the Airman's Club rather than hiring in DJs. This grew into Wally managing multiple disco units, and his successful Solar Scope disco business was launched. He took his DJing skills to Scamp's Disco in Norwich's Anglia Square and built up a following there. "I was doing 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at RAF Coldishall, then 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Scamp's," he tells me. He was young and burning the candle at both ends. It was around this time Wally and I crossed paths on Hospital Radio Norwich. We were both aspiring to be broadcasters. It seemed the natural evolution for disc jockeys. I was DJing a mile or so away from Wally at Norwich's Talk of East Anglia. We didn't know it, but we were to run our careers in parallel for decades. Wally came out of the RAF in early 1980 and, still thinking about radio, sent a demo tape to Piccadilly Radio in his native Manchester. But on the horizon here was BBC Radio Norfolk. Adverts appeared for the various jobs and Wally applied, was interviewed, but ultimately unsuccessful. Nevertheless, he was invited to look around the station while it was being set up and bumped into programme organiser Peter Glanville. "He remembered interviewing me and said, 'Come to my office when you've finished,'" Wally recalls. "They offered me a Sunday afternoon programme for young people. It was a case of right place, right time." The station had sorted out the staff jobs and were now formulating their programming schedule, which would need freelance presenters. Wally and I still chuckle about this pivotal bit of his career because I didn't get a job, or indeed an offer of one, when Radio Norfolk started, so I was dead jealous of his new show. However, fortune smiled on me a few months later when I picked up my first programme. Wally's willingness to build on his radio skills paid off. It needed a bit of bluff and bluster. As is the way of these things, he was asked to do more and more work like news reporting. "Do you know how to use a ewer?" asked the news editor. A ewer was the standard issue portable tape recorder. "Yes," said Wally. "I didn't, but I quickly found out how," he tells me. Over the next decade or so, Wally did pretty much every presenting job on the radio station and became the go-to live radio car reporter, popping up everywhere across the output. Then he was propelled into national fame when Steve Coogan created the hapless early morning presenter from the fictional Radio Norwich. Alan Partridge's backstory even had him starting on a local hospital radio station. It was all too similar, and the national papers revelled in finding the real Alan Partridge. This was at a time when the BBC was launching an important and purposeful new strategy for BBC local radio. "I had to keep my head down a bit," says Wally. Nevertheless, he appeared in many national papers and revelled in the fun of it while the BBC shuffled nervously around the subject. I've met Steve Coogan a few times and even interviewed him at the Norwich premiere of his film, Alpha Papa. He's a lovely bloke. It would take too long to go into his many radio adventures here, but it's all in the book. Aha! It's Wally Webb is the title, which dips into his private as well as public life. It's been a fulfilling lockdown project. Sherry has done the hard work and did a hatchet job on the potential 600 pages. It took her months to condense it to just under 400 pages, including a 16-page photo collection. Wally's story is very much the story of BBC Local Radio's formative years through the 80s. I know, because I was there too. And to be honest, reading his tales has been a trip down memory lane for me too. How does he sum up his colourful career? Well, Wally tells me, radio was different then. I'm really thankful it all worked out the way it did. Now, if you want to get a copy of Wally's book, for information and book orders, call 0793 600 3981. That's 0793 600 3981.
Thank you, David.